Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Orenpool, and welcome to this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, record collections, Mick Hucknall, and Inter-Island Sports. To try and give you a taster of this, and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iamtoday.co.im, I'm joined by newshound Sam Turton.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Well, there was three.
Yeah. And it'll just be two of you when I'm on holidays.
Oh, God.
Whenever I get on holidays.
Just the two of us.
We can make it if we try, just the two of us. You and I. Yeah, I look forward to that. Yes, of course, Jess has left. Our Kiwi has flew the nest. She has gone off to cycle something.
360.
360 to become a fitness guru up there. So last week, I really do, if you're a Jess Ward fan, listen to last week's special memorial.
And check out the artwork and from last week.
She was.
It was a little montage.
Montage, or, as the kids say. But yes, so it's just three of us now. I think, you know, stronger than ever, as they would say. The three legs of sort of man.
Yeah.
What's left of S Club 7?
Exactly. Who I saw this time last year in Gibraltar.
Triangle is the strongest shape in nature.
There you go. Well, three is the magic number, as they always say, isn't it? We've got lots to talk about this week, including record collections, as I said, and new wildlife park. What would you call them? I'm not going to say. I nearly said inmates, but that's not
primates.
Well, they are primates, yes, that resemble
inhabitants.
90s Manchester pop stars.
Yeah, I think really they're more. They're part of the escape committee.
Oh, are they teaming up with Kush?
Yeah, I think they will.
Yeah, okay. Right, we'll talk about that in a minute. Though we'll kick off though with amazing stories on the front page of this week's Alaman, not Alaman, Manx Independent, even, which is in our shops now, and of course available online at iamtoday.co.im/subscribe.scfm.
Or you can just click where it says digital editions.
Or you could just do that. Right, it was a story about a family in Ramsey, and they have 50,000 records, Sam, that they're selling this week for the princely sum of £1 each.
Yeah. Yeah, what can you get for a pound besides a fish, I believe, famously? So it's Ramsey family. The records all belong to man named John Peel, who he died 2-3 years ago.
Not that one.
And
yes.
He had a massive record collection.
I think that's an understatement. 50,000 is pretty
that's like
big.
HMV stock levels.
Yes.
So yeah, so he had that. And what they basically said is that it's the, as a family, they're downsizing sort of thing. His widow's wants to move into a bungalow and they just can't take them with them. Mm. So they decided, instead of going down the tricky system of selling them one by one and getting them, they're just going, right, pound.
Yeah.
Every single one, a pound each.
What really impressed me, his daughter, is it Juliet's? Must have taken it hours. Has it put them in alphabetical order?
Really?
Mm. Yeah. Now, I know we had lockdown and people were searching for things to do, but it must have taken it forever. So they're all in some sort of alphabetical order. It's not just records, is it? I read in Mike's piece that there's recordings of old TC races that
yep.
Manx Radio did, various promo discs that Manx Radio have done. There's all sorts of soundtracks and things like that as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a proper sort of, you know, it goes beyond just sort of, you know, your jazzy music and your rock stars and the people of yesteryear. It's also, yeah, like, you know, you got your TT races, you got, like you say, and look, but, there'd be like a ridiculous sort of history thing to this as well. There'd be a lot of stuff in there. And of course, with a collection that big, there's going to be something, isn't there? There's going to be something there for everybody, but also somewhere in there will be a mythical record.
The moneymaker.
Yeah.
And there were, obviously, so it's Saturday, isn't it? I think they're opening their house. If you were going to have a look round, buy the records, have a look round. I'm sure you're not allowed to go around the other house.
Milling about the house.
Yeah. But the room with all the records in. And did you see how they worked out? Did you hear Mike talking about how they worked out how many records they had?
No.
So apparently, when John was still alive, he'd worked out that 14 inches was the equivalent of, I can't remember what figure it was, a certain amount of records. So they just measured all the, because all the records you'll see on the front page of the Manx Independent are in shelves all around this room, and they just measured how many it was and then worked out the number, the 50,000. So there could be more.
There could be more. There probably is.
And apparently, he's got
maybe they rounded it to the nearest thousand.
These are the big vinyl, is it 12 inch? I see.
Yeah.
Obviously. Apparently, John had a collection of 7 inches, which they haven't even looked at yet.
Oh, wow.
So, but anyway, yeah, so the Saturday, you can go around, have a look, maybe make a purchase or two. I think they're going to be inundated, personally.
Yeah. So is it just on Saturday they can go, or is it going to be like a...
No, I think it's Saturday's the open house.
I think Saturday's the open house, and, you know, I suppose whatever's left, they'll keep going, won't they? Because 50,000's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
It is amazing. So there's more on that story in this week's Max Independent. But it got us talking, Sam, didn't we? What was our favourite first record or CD, whether it was probably for our age, or even, maybe even mini disc if you were that advanced, that you first bought? Katie, can you remember?
I can't remember that I first bought, but I do remember the two I was obsessed with when I was younger. One was Belinda Carlisle, Circle in the Sand.
Wow.
I had on CD.
Big power ballad.
And also my mum had Now 30 on cassette.
Now 30.
Which had hits like... Let's Talk About Sex, which for a seven-year-old was hilarious. And things like that I Like to Move It song.
That's a great song.
And
that... Wasn't that used on Madagascar?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Chewits advert.
And the Chewits advert, yeah.
Good
and,
knowledge.
No? So now I just get very depressed thinking about what number of now that's what I call music. 106,
I saw the advert the other day, 106.
Yeah, but there used to be one a year, didn't they? They've really upped it since then.
Yes.
Yeah. What was your favourite first album? Can you remember that?
First album?
Well, should I give you some thinking time, come back to you?
I do remember buying a cassette of, were they called Let Loose? They were like a boy band who never really made it.
Wash your mouth, Let Loose were big.
But I bought that for like 99 pence with my pocket money from Woolworths in a cassette.
For an album?
No, for a single.
Let Loose, I remember, it was sort of on 911's level of popularity for a long time. They used to sort of get clubbed together. And there was Richie from Let Loose, I remember that. They seem to have
missed... You are remembering them a lot more than I did.
Well, I was a big fan. They seem to have missed out on... You know, they had all that comeback stuff that they were doing on ITV2. Let's get them all out of retirement.
They never brought back Let Loose.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I can't name any of their songs.
Perhaps they never went away. Maybe they're still touring somewhere.
Maybe.
Like I was Underworld, apparently. I was listening to the radio the other day. Underworld, Born Slippy, seminal hit, yeah?
Yeah.
They're in their 60s now and still banging out the hits, doing the sets and stuff like that. So I was thinking, yeah, you don't really think, you know, Underworld, you know, big dance act, of aging like that. Like, your man from Faithless must be cracking on a bit as well.
Yeah.
So it's quite sad, really. Sam, your first record?
Do you know, can I just say, do you know what's the saddest thing about that? Is people would still go and see the likes of like Faithless or Fatboy Slim, like DJ, but if there was someone of the same age at the club as a paying customer, they would rip it out of them.
Yeah, they'd be like, what are you doing in here, Grandad?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would be you shouting at them.
Yeah. What, come on, Grandad. Call that a cardigan. Yeah. What was your favourite record?
I think the first album I had was Busted, A Gift for Everyone.
Oh, I didn't know that you had such a deep affinity with them.
I remember
we went to see McBusted.
Yes,
right the way back.
No, we went. We tried to see Busted at the Ville. We couldn't afford McBusted.
Oh,
they were a bit extra.
So that was your first. What was your first single? You see, you're quite a bit younger. Perhaps singles weren't as big a deal. No, you probably downloaded it, did you?
Probably. I don't know.
Did you ever have cassettes?
I did have cassettes, yeah.
Was that just for use in the car? Because the car sort of technology for a while seemed to lag behind everyone else.
We still had like the a radio that had cassette. I can't remember really. I wasn't massive. I still not really aren't massively into music sort of thing. It's not really a big thing. I've always preferred like comedians and stuff.
Yeah,
I always prefer comedians and stuff.
Right. Well, I have to say, I was trying to think about this before when Sam posed the question. I think the first single I bought was Hot Chocolate, You Sexy Thing.
After
Full Monty came back. I also remember buying a Cameroonian dance act called Wes Alane, who I don't know where or how I'd heard it before, but they ended up doing the Cameroon World Cup song at some point, Wes did. But Alane was a fantastic hit.
I didn't know your interest in world music.
Oh, yeah. All over the shippy. And then my first album, which was quite mainstream, I think was The Verve, Urban Hymns. Everyone of my age seemed to buy that.
I quite like world music. I've had Ricky Martin on the radio a couple of times.
Well, one of my main childhood memories was trawling through a market in Naples when I was about 7 years old because the Macarena had just come out and I wanted to find it on a cassette. And we found this like Euro Hits cassette. Right. And it went on to have one of my favourite songs of all time, which is German band Fool's Garden with Lemon Tree.
Wow, Fool's Garden. That is a very German band name, isn't it? Right, well, I hope you've enjoyed that delve down memory lane. Please do send us in if you've... What is your favourite... First album or single you bought, whether that be a CD, a mini disc, a cassette, or a download now, I suppose, for our modern day listener.
I guarantee Mrs. Kitchen will remember hers.
Please do send it into...
I wonder what Mrs. Kitchen's was. Tell her to send me personally a card.
Okay.
So we can hear about it.
Okay.
Hi, Mrs. Kitchen.
If Mrs. Kitchen is on the socials, either Twitter or Instagram, she could just send us a message.
Well,
on...
She's not. She's very much not.
At IOM News Podcast.
She slides into a postbox like a traditional lady. Not her personally, you understand. Her messages. Because you don't literally slide into someone's DMs, do you? You don't do it yourself. You post into their DMs, but she posts into the... Old school, post office as well, get a stamp. And then, yeah, while the dad's off in the car park, get some meat from the butcher.
Just keep digging. Right, yeah.
I'm gonna stop.
Yeah, please do stop. Right, yeah, so moving on to our next news story. The hilarity doesn't really stop there, does it? Because we had a lovely press release this morning from the government. It was telling us about some new residents of the wildlife park. Now, can you tell us what they are, Sam? And then we'll...
So they're two endangered golden lion tamarins.
Right.
They're a type of primate.
And they are golden, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. They're sort of like...
Gingery
gold with long hair and little faces.
Like strawberry blondes.
Yeah, like a little bit scrunched up face.
And you've christened them...
Mick Hucknall.
Yes. Now, I thought Sam's... Yeah, he's way off the mark here. But then I saw the front page of this week's Courier, which should be coming through, like Mrs. Kitchener, into your post office, into your post box in the Noxy Listener's future. There is a striking resemblance to 90s pop star Mick Hucknall.
It wasn't just me who said it, either. I went on Twitter this morning and... like Paul Speller, who people know, he'd said the same thing.
Right.
Which is quite worrying, as we both have the same thought at the same time.
So why have the wildlife park got these Mick Hucknall likes?
So, they fell from the stars right into their arms. They were holding back the years. And essentially, what's happened is, see, these primates, the monkeys, they're quite endangered, so they reckon there's about 3,200 left.
A bit like Mick Hucknall himself.
Yeah, he's endangered. Back in like the 70s and all this, the 70s or 80s, they got very close to being extinct. And the wildlife park here has got quite a good conservation records. They breed sort of like, these sorts of animals.
Well, we saw the silvery gibbons.
The silvery gibbon.
A fourth was added to the clan
a couple weeks ago. They've still got hopes that the red panda will do it, if Kush will stop going out on Saturdays. And, it keeps going out of the lads.
Yeah.
So, we've got wallabies, of course. You know, as an island, we're breeding bizarre animals, including in the wildlife park. So they're hoping, I think this is the hope, is that these will breed. So they've come from France.
Right.
So I think they might be confused by the accent.
Mick Hucknall.
Yeah. It may take them a while to get from the bonjour, to all like, a traditional Manx accent, which I can do brilliantly well, as we all know. That won't embarrass you. So they might be here in April, actually, but then COVID hit. So they've...
So where have they been in the meantime?
I don't know.
In France?
Just staying in France.
Maybe they've been in like isolation at Gatwick or something, just sat riding around on a little baggage reclaim thing.
Is that how they sound?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
Have they got names? Apart from Mick Hucknall?
I don't know. Not that I know of. I do know something very weird about them. We had to get the permission of the Brazilian government.
Right. To bring them to the Isle of Man from France.
They all belong to the Brazilian government. So it's like China and the pandas.
Yeah.
Because these things, they live in the rainforests of Brazil. So naturally, the Currix is it's a home from home.
Yeah.
They had to get a written permission from the Brazilian government to allow them to be sent here.
Now, are they ready for... Can people come and see them now? Or is there a settling in period? Or
I think they normally just give them a bit of settling in period and then you can go see them. But, of course, the wildlife park is open for the rest of the summer, I believe.
Yeah. So go and see Mick Hucknall. Is it
and
two
friends.
Of them? And friends.
There's two of them, yeah.
Or Simply Red, as they were known back in the day.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, this week's sports story. Now, we've talked about this already on the podcast in the last few weeks, is this air bridge that's been opened between Guernsey and the Isle of Man. In my head, it was like a big inflatable. that you get at a child's birthday party, but of course that's absolute nonsense, and it's the route that's been opened up by Guernsey's own state-owned airline, even. What's the name of it, Sam? I never get it right.
Orany. Let's go Orany.
Yep. And they're coming, obviously, bringing flights over to here and people going back to there. So as part of that, the Alaman sporting community have jumped on board, quite literally, and are all over it. There's sort of three big things coming up in the next few weeks. FC Alaman, we talked about these guys last week. They've been accepted into the English non-league system and they'll be playing football over in England as well as here in September, hopefully. Now, they're going to play their first ever game against Guernsey FC, which are pretty much the prototype for what FC Alaman is. Guernsey moved into the English league system in 2011, so the old hands at this by now. They've been doing it for 9 years. And they are going to travel over and play the Alaman at the Bowl on August the 15th, which coincidentally is the first day of the Manx football season. And they will play at 6:30 that evening, and a glamour-friendly, I'm going to call it. Hopefully a big crowd down to cheer them on in what will be FC Alaman's first official game. Now, the same weekend, Douglas RUFC, Douglas Rugby Club, are travelling over in the opposite direction to Guernsey to play the Guernsey Rainders, who are Guernsey's most eminent rugby team. And they are actually, I think, a couple of levels above Douglas in the English Rugby League pyramid. So that should be a good game. I think the week after that, I hope you're keeping up here, the Ireland cricket teams, so I think it's the senior side plus the under-17s, under-15s and under-13s are all travelling to Guernsey to play a series of games. Now the senior side I think might be in for a bit of a tough game because Guernsey are in the World Cricket Leagues, which is only a couple of rungs under the big boys like England and Pakistan.
And Ireland done that a few years ago, and they qualified
for the and obviously they're playing team. England and Ireland are playing one day international this week. So, yeah, Guernsey are going to be a tough opposition. I think all three will be really close, tough games for the Alaman teams and the Manx teams playing. So, please do stay tuned to the our papers and, of course, online at imtoday.co.im and to keep abreast of the results, as it were. But they're all taking place from middle of next month. Right, this week in history, Sam takes us to the Holiday News, which is a publication we've featured a couple of times. And it's the August 2nd edition of 1958. Now, there's a lot going on this front page. Now, aside from, which basically a what's on, isn't it, of what's happening in that week in the Alaman, including church services, there's yacht regatta, there's a swimming gala, there's also some cracking pictures, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, where do you start? I think we'll have to start with the lovely Doreen Astle.
Okay.
Of Liverpool, who was elected Miss Manon, the bathing beauty competition at the Villa Marina. Who'd won it the year before as well?
Reigning.
So she was the reigning defending champion.
So she must come over and be like, right, I'm Miss Manon.
She was, well, funnily enough, the 23-year-old Doreen is well known to the Isle of Man as a model. She often comes to give fashion shows for a local firm, and during the summer, she is working as a demonstrator in a food store.
Demonstrator in a food store? Is that like when they, like, would you like to try this new product?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Mm. This is my favourite thing, is the judges were three lady footballers and Mr. Wilf Clegg, captain of Castletown football team.
Wilf.
I love the thing of the lady going, Wilf, we've got a job for you, mate. Yeah, no worries.
The ladies were Miss Doris Ashley, the inside right and captain of the visiting Corinthians Lady FC, who has played for England and scored 409 goals in 222 matches. Flipping Nora. She is prolific. Miss Bunty Hilton, Corinthians centre-forward and the highest scorer this year, and Miss Jean Seymour, centre-half and captain of the Nomads team and has played for England and who is the mother of four children. She packed it all in, quite literally. The choice of Doreen was a popular one. Runner-up was Norma Wright, a 23-year-old typist from Canada Street in Sheffield, and Jacqueline Pratt, a waitress from Croft House Road, Bradford, was third. Where's all the Manx girls? Or ladies or women?
Well, I wonder if it's like a tour, like a travelling thing, because they have one every week. So they have a bathing beauty competition held every Wednesday.
Oh yeah, because the winner is eligible for the final in September when the Rose Bowl and a £100 cheque will be competed.
It's not be worth travelling back to Ireland for. It'd be worth a go, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think that I also like the thing of you got the, where do we go for next? Treasure? No, let's go for the Sea Monster. So, Kate, have you seen the Sea Monster? Have you got a copy of this?
No, you haven't given me a copy. Oh,
yeah. Well. So anyway, here, look at mine. So this is a lobster. Look at the size of it. It's a big lobster.
Is that really, really deformed?
No, it's just got big claws.
but quite a small body. Well, that claw is in, not that's, it remind, I can't say that, but it's very out of proportion to me.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's apparently over 8 pounds, which is equivalent, really, of a newborn baby, which is quite big when you think about it.
That is big.
There's more animals on the front page this week because there was two fine animals, as how the caption starts. And it's at the Southern Agriculture Show in Castletown on Thursday. Three attractive attendants. Oh, this is a bit sexist, isn't it? Three
attractive attendants. This headline.
Pat Kelly, Kathleen Walker, and Jennifer Wynne. There's another. Oh, so it doesn't actually mention the cattle.
So it's beauty as the three ladies and the beasts as the animals.
Oh, I didn't even see
I
that.
I can only see, because I'm not at what, like looking at my own copy, I could only see one cow and a group of women. And I thought that's a horrible, horrible way to caption it.
I think the other big story is Treasure Island.
Yeah.
This is brilliant, Kate. You'll love this. So they have like a treasure hunt every week.
Oh, wow.
So it's all quite cleverly done as like a way to get people around the tourist parts of the island. So, like, you know, say you'd have to go, you'd be in, I don't know, say, the Villa Marina, and they'd have a clue, and that would lead you to Port Erin Beach. And how'd you get to Port Erin? You get on the steam train, and you go down Port Erin. And then you find the clue down there, and then say the next day it's up in Gradle. So how'd you get to Gradle? You get the tram. Or it's up the mountain. Or, you know, so it's all stuff that was near public transport. So it was a way of getting the tourists out of Douglas, around the island, and on the public transport.
That's such a great idea.
But essentially Pokemon Go, isn't it, really?
Except you've got like a financial reward at the end.
As opposed to loneliness.
Yeah.
Gotta catch them all!
Right, well, that was a very interesting This Week in History. It was the holiday news of August 2nd, 1958. If you do want to see the Beauty and the Beast, or indeed the Sea Monster, or indeed Miss Doreen Astle, please do get the Alaman Examiner on Tuesday, because the front page will be there in all its glory.
That was nearly the new name for our podcast.
What?
Beauty and the Beasts.
Right, so, Katie, a great yesterday training this week, and it's about probably one of the most influential people in Manx history that probably quite a lot of people don't know about, because I didn't know loads about him, I'm ashamed to say, until we started looking into it at work.
Well, I was quite shocked because you came over and you said, Dave Neal, who is our photographer extraordinaire, has done a feature all about James Brown.
Mm.
And you were saying, no, not that James Brown.
Yeah.
Because obviously my first four is The Godfather of Soul.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew very little about him until this week, and it's quite shocking we don't know that much about him.
Yeah.
So basically next week's Examiner, available on the 4th of August. So if you're listening to this in the future, you can get it online still.
Yeah.
So the feature all about James Brown. So he's actually born in Liverpool in 1815, and he moved to the Isle of Man during the printing boom in 1846. And just to give you a bit of context for newspapers of that time, so the Isle of Man was doing really, really, really well in publishing because of lack of taxes here. And also there were some clever loopholes about posting newspapers to subscribers for free because of us being a crown dependency. But in 1848, the Post Office Act changed that and things took a downturn. And a lot of these entrepreneurs who'd come over to get involved in publishing, they went back to the UK. But James Brown stayed and he kind of relaunched the Isle of Man Times. And he then would go on to use that, and it would go hand in hand with his campaign for democracy and freedom of speech on the island. The main campaign he was going for was just a change in the House of Keys. So he wanted it to be a democratically elected government, which...
which we take for granted now, really.
Yes. Where? Yeah.
Well,
don't get me started.
So one of the things, like, shortly after the Douglas Town Commissioners had been established, they were petitioning the House of Keys for a bill that would mean that they could make bylaws. So Brown was reporting on the Keys considering this bill, and it featured a remark by one MHK that the commissioners are only fit to control the donkeys on the beach. To which Brown then added that the remark had elicited marks of approval from the donkeys around the MHK. He then accused the House of Keys of being, I can't say this word, despotic rulers.
Oh.
And basically, the man flat out refused to apologise for these comments, and as a result was sentenced to 6 months imprisonment in Castle Rushen for libel and contempt.
Mm.
So he went on to use the time in prison to be very productive in continuing his campaign to get democracy to the Keys, and he continued to publish articles asking for it and campaigning for freedom of press. He kept a comprehensive diary of his time in Castle Rushen, which was found by his, I think it was his grandson, in like a bag of like old things. Yeah. And it ended up being his diary when he was imprisoned. So it's basically a record of the Isle of Man's struggle for democracy. James Brown got released early, I think it was after about 7 weeks, and he was awarded £500 in damages.
It's quite a lot of money back then.
Yeah, yeah. The Isle of Man Times would go on to expand over the years. It went from a four-page weekly in 1861 to eventually a twice-weekly newspaper. And it went to his son, John Archibald Brown, after James Brown died. And John Archibald Brown had worked as a journalist for the paper during his dad's life. And it remained in the family until 1958.
Wow.
And it was published up until 1987. Mm-hmm. Also, there are a lot of other people involved in pushing for democratic change in the Manx government, and others who were also imprisoned for speaking out against it, who I will definitely read more about because I know very little about this. But one very important thing to take into account is that James Brown was a black man who not only succeeded in helping to bring about change to the Manx government and the world of publishing on the island, but he became such an important member of Manx society because he was also a Mason.
Yeah.
He was like besties with T.E. Brown.
Yeah.
And he did this whilst being the grandson of a slave in that day and age is just...
It's staggering, really, isn't
it? Yeah, incredible.
So
yeah.
It's his birthday on Sunday. It's August 2nd or August... Yeah.
Yes, he's an August baby.
Yep. Yeah. So there's as Katie said, there's a great feature of This Is Whet Your Appetite in the Examiner on Tuesday.
There's so much to read about him. And there's also Culture Vannon published a book called The Struggle for Manx Democracy, mm-hmm. which gives you more. In fact, Dave was showing me this book earlier. Yeah. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to reading Dave Neal's.
And did you know that there's a bust of James Brown in the museum?
Yes, because there's a bust of him and he's got a little copy of the Isle of Man Times tucked into his pocket.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very nice touch.
So he's an absolute fascinating character. So please do pick up an Examiner of Katie's Whet Your Appetite there, because Dave has done a great article on him. So, including some pictures of him. He looked like a bit of a cad as well.
Yeah. He is a very, very sharply dressed man. Mm-hmm. One of the things he did is, whilst he was imprisoned, he did have photographers come in because it helped the cause of, like, this man's been imprisoned wrongfully because of freedom of speech and...
Wow. So you got. So imagine that. Imagine Goldie getting the photographers in to. Oh, he did?
He got ITV.
Right, yeah, so there was more on that in this week's Examiner. Anything else that we should look out for in the Examiner, Sam?
Oh, loads of stuff. There's toilets for sale.
Yeah.
There's TV licensing stuff to keep an eye on as well for the over 75s. There's plans for viewing platform port out. There's loads of stuff this week.
So that's all in next week's Alan on Examiner. Maybe even in the Manx Independent too.
Who knows?
Who knows? So please do keep an eye on that. Right, that's about it for this week. If you do want to find a digital edition of any of our newspapers, please do go on to irontoday.co.im, click on the digital editions tab, and they're all there. All of them. They're still... How long are they kept up there? Okay?
From like 2015, I think, they go back to. So you don't have to just read this week's one.
And they're priced at £1, which is 10p less than if you get a physical copy.
Exactly, it's a bargain. And then if you want to get a longer subscription, you're talking about 20% discount, if not more.
That's a lot of discount.
Yeah.
Right, that's about it for this week. Until next week.
Bye for now.